Last weekend, I had the unexpected visit of my two daughters, one from Oregon, the other from Boston. "What should I preach this year at Easter?" I asked. Now in their late 30s, they had, of course, as preachers' kids do, experienced quite a number of their mother's sermons. And I had often experienced quite a number of critiques of their mother's sermon. I thought it wise to ask this year. They did not hesitate. The immediate and univocal response was Max's chocolate chicken. I'm not sure what I had in mind for Easter, but certainly not this. It's a children's story, a wonderful one, but not relevant, or so I thought, to a world at war, ice at every door, a government which increasingly excludes those who don't meet certain biological or political criteria, where winning and losing and the ability to blow a country to smithereens are the measure of success or failure. On Easter this year especially, I wanted to offer some serious signs of hope. Not a children's story as proof, or at least promise of new life and transformation. Some way the ancient story of Jesus' resurrection comes to reality in a sometimes despairing 2026. And then I was reminded of the words of Jesus. Jesus, who always called the children close and invited us to listen to their wisdom. I was reminded also closer to home here at St. Michael's how the children of this parish have reenacted and retold the story of Jesus. His birth, from the incarnation in the Christmas pageant to the passion walk we made last Saturday morning here in this sanctuary. In each spot, the featured characters are those whose power is nothing in the realm of empire. No emperors or generals there. From the birth of the baby to the hope-filled entry into Jerusalem with palms and the donkey, to the Last Supper, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, the despair of the crucifixion. There are no conquerors in this story. Just the man called King on a donkey who heals a soldier's ear, who does not defy Pilate or resort to violence, who forgives the sinner on the cross. As the children, adults in tow, walked the way to Jerusalem, as the events were retold, there was no sugarcoating. Even as the children entered the cave draped in black cloth, which served as the tomb. And yet now this day, this glorious day, just as there was no better symbol of the walk to the cross, there is no better symbol of joy and resurrection than watching these same children and a few more with their flowers, flowering this cross in the midst of a church adorned with beauty, A time we remember those ancient stories and take hope once again in the blossoms that arrive. Our times have not changed. Divisions are not healed. But on this Easter day, we are offered hope, here too in the presence of children. And in spite of it all, spring and new life are not only a promise, but a reality of resistance and possibility. It's a hard story, this Jesus one. Life and death and new life again. And maybe if it is learned early and told by children who one day indeed may be presidents or power brokers, but now officially are not, they will remember these days, as I hope will we, even as we walk the journey again and again. Matthew's gospel today continues that ancient story of the first Easter, here through the eyes and experience of the women. Another nobody sidelined group. The women, of course, had been there all along beside Jesus, though not officially called disciples. They were there at the cross, watching, weeping, staying awake. And so it was on that third day that Mary Magdalene and another called Mary went to the tomb, perhaps to anoint the body as was their custom, bringing their sorrow, their grief, most of all their fear, not just in remembering the violence of the death on that day before of one they loved, but perhaps the fear of life without their leader. Or even would they, as witnesses, as followers, be next to suffer that same fate? Was early violent death to be theirs as well? Did they have courage enough for that? They arrive at the tomb, wondering who will take away the stone sealed so carefully, and to their shock, they're met instead with an earthquake and an angel sitting on the rollaway stone. The tomb open, Jesus not there. "Do not be afraid," said the angel. Those words, even from, or maybe especially from, an angel, are not a lot of comfort. They do not bode well for what is to come next for these women. For it was a prelude to what likely was the hardest thing they have ever done. With short explanation, which is sort of no explanation at all, the angel sends them forth, "Go and tell." And along the way, you'll see Jesus, who's risen from the dead. And so they went, taking their fear, but this time also great joy. Perhaps they were remembering that other Mary, Jesus' mother, who had been with them at the cross as well. Remembering the story of that other angel descending, who said, "Be not afraid," and announced Jesus' birth. That Mary, pondering, then consenting. "Fear not," said that angel too. Now, some 30-some years later, an angel comes to these women. "Do not be afraid. Go and tell." Could it be that the angel's message is ours as well? Do not be afraid, of course. But then the call and task, go and tell. And perhaps not just go and tell and do and be, taking courage from that ancient story, courage from the children, courage from the accounts of those who were there, seeking, of course, signs of hope and resurrection along the way in our own lives and in our communities. Afraid, yet joyful. We might not think that angel is speaking to us, but she is there. She is there telling us over and over again that it is possible, in spite of our fears. The one who we follow is Jesus. Yes, because he rose from the dead. Yes, because he was crucified. Yes, because he died for our sins, but most of all, because he and the angels and the saints and the God in whose image we are created calls each of us, like those ancient Marys before, to say yes, to keep on being a community of welcome where there's no litmus test to whether you can belong, loving enemies, forgiving, bridging divides, even when it's hard, making peace when it doesn't seem possible, refusing to demonize another, no matter what, where disagreements do not lead to war, and where power means the power of love, not the power of a gun or a bomb. Where there's grace, forgiveness, belonging, where there is a place and enough for all, including each of us. This is serious work, hard work, not easy. There are struggles, and it is joyful work. We find hope in the stories of our faith, in the story of that first Easter, in the children who had the courage to tell, and even amazingly in the seemingly frivolous story of an erstwhile heavenly rabbit and a bunny called Max and his self-righteous big sister, Ruby. For those of you who may not know the story, in short, a heavenly rabbit floats through the clouds, dropping elaborately, magnificently colored eggs on the ground, and places a giant chocolate chicken in a bird bath. Big sister Ruby suggests an egg hunt, where the one who finds the most eggs takes all, and especially the chocolate chicken. Ruby finds many beautiful eggs. Max finds none. He finds a mud puddle, a spoon, some acorns, some ants. No eggs, no chicken, cries Ruby as her basket gets full to overflowing. And in the blink of an eye, just as Ruby calls an end to the hunt, Max grabs the chocolate chicken, hides in the hole of a tree trunk, and eats the entire thing. Ruby can't find Max. She's irate, horrified. How could you do this to me, Max? He comes out of the tree, and as Ruby continues to complain, and they look at the empty bird bath. They turn their eyes aside for a moment, and there it is, the heavenly bunny who comes down and puts another big chocolate chicken in the bird bath. There's enough. There's enough. We don't have to fight to win. There will be suffering, There will be death. There will be struggle. And this year, too, there is hope and, yes, reality of resurrection. Happy Easter 2026. Amen.